The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my technical engineer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
What a beautiful day we woke up to. Anyway, I have two special guests joining me in the studio. I have Marjorie Helm, and we'll be talking with Marjorie about the first annual Petaluma Community Engagement Fair, which is happening on May 7th in Petaluma. Boy, this is a Petaluma day. And Dr. Amanda Morrison, head of the Santa Rosa JC Petaluma Intercultural Center and chair of the North Bay Organizing Project Education Justice Task Force, and we'll be talking about We the Future, which is the first conference that's happening here in Petaluma on April 28th at the Santa Rosa Junior College Petaluma campus. Wow, what great events. We the Future, talking about the future, coming together in a conference, and also the community engagement fair. By the way, we had one in Santa Rosa, and it was fabulous. And I really encourage people to check it out. But we'll have more information as we move through the show and, of course, with the interview with Marjorie. Well, it was quite a week for me. And I want to thank all my friends on Facebook. You know, I had to have a skin cancer removed, and the second one, I had two of them removed, and the second one created a lot of pain. And you know how it is, folks, when you don't feel well and you feel alone and you feel like, oh my goodness, I'm not feeling good and nobody cares about me. And I thought, you know, I'm going to go on Facebook and I'm going to tell everybody how I feel. Maybe that'll make me feel better. And it was so wonderful. All the responses I got, the good luck wishes, the prayers, you know, people telling me to hang in there. I felt like I had this huge get well card. And I saw the value of communication and community and how when we come together to bless each other, what a wonderful feeling it was. And, you know, we just left Easter Sunday, you know, and for the Christians out there, it's supposed to be the resurrection of Jesus as, you know, that there's life after death. I guess that's what the meaning is. But I studied with Unity. And for us, Easter Sunday is a resurrection of the new being, the new person, new ideas, a new way to move forward. And in me writing this little statement in Facebook was really a big step for me. And I really want to thank the folks for responding to me. I mean, it was just so gracious and it really made me feel good. And I also recognize that when I respond to people, now I know exactly how they must feel. Well, another good thing happened was my dear partner, Ken Norton, I can't believe it. He had to change my bandages twice a day. Thank you, Ken. Thank you. As he always says, he says, Elaine, I have your back. And who could ask for anything more than that? You know, that's what Women's Spaces is all about, is to encourage all of us, particularly women, to reach out. And I want to do a special, special shout out, you know, in the midst of the pain and the fear around having cancer on your back and then all the different things that happen. I want you to know today I'm feeling great and I have a whole new attitude. You know, as far as I'm concerned, life is one day at a time. If you're pain-free, hey, folks, you're doing a great thing. It's a wonderful, wonderful day. But I want to do a special shout-out. I got this marvelous phone call. It was just amazing. It came in about 9:30 this morning from a woman by the name of Emily, who is the project manager down at Conklin Brothers down in Santa Rosa. And she called me up and she says, Elaine, I want you to know that I've got the pledge, the Women's Spaces pledge, by my computer, and I want to thank you for it. And I thought, wow, how gracious that she would give me a call and let me know that the pledge is helping her. And we do the pledge the last Friday, the last Monday of the month. Remember, it's my self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. It depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. And the reason I say higher power, whatever your belief system is, we all believe in something. I personally believe in the great mystery. Well, I'm going to start barking now. I could hardly believe when I heard on the news that the United States of America reportedly unleashed a 21,600-pound bomb with an explosion that was equal to 11. That's 11, folks. 11 tons of TNT on the people of Afghanistan. And they had the nerve to call it a mother of all bombs. Can you believe that? A mother of all bombs. I don't know how women got regulated to second-class citizens. You know, I'm reading a book now by Angela Davis, and she talks about the experience of the African-American women, particularly in slavery, how they were treated. And when I look at this and I say, a mother of all bombs, hearing about it and the magnitude of destruction this bomb is making, it was mind-boggling that they had the audacity to add mother of all bombs into the description. You know how much it cost us for that? $16 million. No debate, no public input. And what did we get for those millions? A big hole in the ground and also devastation that we, to this moment, do not even know about. You know, I have to ask this question. We are in 2017. You know, I found out that you can have a kidney replaced. You could have a heart replaced. I actually have a friend who had a heart transplant. His heart was taken out and a new heart was put in. We have ways. Right now I have these two cancers in my back. They have developed methods that just take it off and get rid of it. It's amazing what they're doing. And we have our smartphones. Everybody's running around taking pictures. We can call all over the world. We're streaming here on KBBF. And we are going all across the globe. In every country that has a computer system can hear this radio show. What a miracle that we've invented all these things, and yet we cannot figure a way to bring peace to this planet. That we cannot figure a way to sit down at the table and start, just come on, put the boxing gloves on. Yeah, I want this, I want that, I want that. No. We're going to drop a $16 million bomb on God only knows who's been affected by it. Now, I ask you a question. Is that going to win the hearts and minds of people? Would it win the hearts and minds of you if you were sitting in your kitchen having breakfast maybe with your family and all of a sudden this thing, all of a sudden you hear this explosion, everything starts rocking? Is that going to win your heart? No way. We have to start thinking about this. And I want to encourage women to start writing your congressmen, writing your senators, writing the President of the United States, and tell them, get the word mother. It should be a monstrous bomb of all times, or a miserable bomb, but not a mother of all bombs. Mothers create life. Out of our bodies come children. Everybody has a mother. The person on that plane who dropped that bomb had a mother. How dare them even integrate the word in that kind of action? I mean, it really, really upset me. I'm in the process of writing a letter to the editor. I really encourage women to start looking at that. You know, we're never going to have peace on earth if this is the way we solve our issues. We have to get rid of the weaponry. Our best weapon, you know, Napoleon said it. Napoleon said it so beautifully. I mean, of all things that, you know, I'd pull Napoleon out. But what he said is the mind, the heart is stronger than the mind. If you go to your heart and you start asking what is fair and what is right, it's going to be easier for you to stand up and say, no way. No way. You know, all this money, $16 million, I mean, that could feed children in school. They're cutting food stamps. They're trying to get rid of health care. I mean, why isn't the money going into life-sustaining things rather than stuff like this? So we have to ask that question. We really do. And I call on our leaders across the world, start thinking about what you're doing. We're accomplishing nothing. We're destroying our planet. We're destroying our air. And we're destroying our humanity. And that is the most important thing. Well, that's a lot to think about. That really is. you know, and I don't want to put people on a negative train, but we have to take some responsibility here. And the responsibility is to let our trusted leaders. I believe in government. I think government is very important. Government is supposed to make sure everything is kind of equal. You know, that's my vision. You know, make sure everybody has homes, housing, you know, that there's everybody's getting their fair share so we can survive together. But this is not acceptable, folks. Not at all. So what I thought I would do is I would play one of my songs that is always impacted me. I remember when I first heard it, it was Bob Dylan's Master of War. And you know, one of the challenges of the women's space is to find songs that are popular that are sung by women. And I was so excited because I found this wonderful, wonderful song. But before I do it, you know, Masters of War is really an interesting song. I did a little historic investigation on it. It was included in a 1963 album, The Freewheeling Bob Dylan. And it's not the usual anti-war and pacifist song. It is a strong condemnation of the people responsible for the atrocities of war and for the death and blood that it brings, with particular reference to the Vietnam War. And that's when I was not anti-war until I was 30 years old. When I was a journalism major and I was at Los Angeles City College, and my editor said to me, Elaine, you got to go out there and you got to interview these young men. It was called the Wheelchair Brigade. And I went out there and there were 50, if you can imagine this, 50 young boys. And they were young. There was not one of them over 21. Paraplegics that were protesting the Vietnam War. And they were also protesting that they were not getting the care from the Veterans Association, the hospitals. I walked in pro-war. I walked out a changed woman. I became anti-war. I was the editorial page manager, and I started coming out against all these bombs and all this other stuff. And I remember when I saw the little girl running with napalm, and I said, this cannot happen in our country. Our country cannot be responsible for this. That could be my little girl. And that's how we have to think. Every child out there that's harmed, that's hurt, that's not getting fed, that's homeless, all these things could be our child. You know, if it could happen to one person, it could happen to many people. That's why you have to make it fair for everybody. Well, anyway, you know, what was interesting about doing the history on this song is I actually found out that Bob Dylan himself was so shocked that these words came out, that he was that angry. And here he took a nation and opened the hearts and eyes and minds of many, many people. So I know this sounds, you know, I am barking a lot. I understand that. But we really have to start thinking. We have to stand up, particularly as women. We give birth to the children. Whether you have children or not, it's irrelevant. If you believe in if you believe that you live in this great mystery, if you believe in a higher power, if you believe in God, if you believe in Jesus, Muhammad, I don't care who you believe in. You know that women have been gifted the miracle of life. Whether you have children or not, it doesn't matter. It's still within your body. It's still within your physical psyche. We have to stand up for the future of our children. We have to understand that war is not the answer. If it were the answer, we would have had peace a long time ago, because we have been warring for centuries. In fact, today when we listen to Amy Goodman on Democracy Now!, we can hear how sophisticated our weapon systems have become. You know, we really have to start thinking about this. And this is not a right or a left thing. This is not a communist or a socialist or a democratic thing. This is a thing that is called life, that we all are here to experience. And we cannot experience a quality of life if we have all these concerns in the background. Well, that's a lot to chew on. But you know something? That's what Women's Space is all about, to support women in having a voice, and also to overcome some of the fears of standing up and saying, this is not right. Love is the answer. Compassion is the answer. Peace is the answer. So now we're going to take a musical break. And we're going to be listening to Bob Dylan's Masters of War. And I believe, let's see, it's sung by a woman by the name, I'll tell you guys, give me a little bit of credit that I find these wonderful songs being sung by women. The song is going to be sung by Titania Munez. So here we are, Masters of War. And when we come back, I will be talking with Marjorie Helm, and we will be talking about the event that's happening in Petaluma. Anyway, here we go, Masters of War.
Come, you masters of war, you that build all the guns, you that build the death planes, you that build all the bombs, you that hide behind walls, you that hide behind desks. I just want you to know I can see through your mask. You that never done nothing but built to destroy. You play with my world like it's your toy. You put a gun in his hand and you hide from his eyes, and you turn and run farther when the fast bullets fly, like Judas of old. You lie and deceive. But I see through your eyes, and I see through your brain, like I see through the water that runs down my drain. You fasten all the triggers for the others to fire, then you sit back. You hide in your mansion as young people's blood flows out of their bodies and is buried in the mud. You've thrown the worst fear that can never be heard, fear to bring children. In your veins, how much do I know to talk out of turn? You might say that I'm young, you might say I'm a mer, but there's one thing I know, though I'm younger than you, that even Jesus would never forgive what you do. Let me ask you one question. Is your money that good? Will it buy you forgiveness? Do you think that it could? And I think you will find when your death takes its toll, money you made will never buy back your soul. And I hope that you die and your death will come soon. I will follow your casket on a pale afternoon, and I'll watch while you're lowered down into your death. Stand over your grave till I'm sure that you're dead.
Oh, God, that song just gives me the chills. C-H-I-L-L-S. That was Bob Dylan's. It was sung by Tatiana Menez, Bob Dylan's song, Master of War. And what's really interesting, I found out that the tune was actually from an old, old folk song. It's just amazing what they did in the 50s and 60s and 70s with a lot of these songs. But here we are, 2017, and like I said, they're just as relevant today as they were back then when they were written. Well, anyway, for you folks joining in, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM. Calistoga, Santa Rosa. And I want to remind my listeners, the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, members, and Women's Spaces. Welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I would like to introduce my guest, Marjorie Helm. Welcome, Marjorie. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you, Elaine, and thank you for having me.
Oh, it's wonderful. You know, you got a little emotional when I was doing that commentary. Would you like to share a little bit before I tell our folks about you?
You know, this is such a moment in all of our lives where we are again dropping bombs, and it makes me so sad, and it also reminds me of my growing up in the anti-war movement. And listening to Bob Dylan, having seen him as a freshman in high school in 1963.
Oh, my goodness.
Very, very privileged to see him with Joan Baez, and just at that moment decided that this was going to be my life's work. Really.
Well, it's amazing what a song, one song, or one line can do for you. It's just amazing. Well, Marjorie, I'm so happy you're here, and I would like to tell my listeners just a little bit about you. Is that okay?
You bet.
Well, you know, Marjorie, it's really interesting, folks. I want you to know that I have my guests send me a bio, and I try to limit it to 150 words because in the past I would get whole dissertations. It was just amazing. But it's wonderful getting these bios because you get to know about the women that you're interviewing. And these are unsung women. I mean, oftentimes we don't hear about. These are not celebrity women. These are women who are in our community. These are ordinary women that care, that are doing extraordinary things. Well, Marjorie Helm has an LCSW, and she has a 44, oh my goodness, you don't look that old, Marjorie, 44-year career in human services and community organizing for nonprofit and governing agencies. Marjorie retired, congratulations, 2 years ago after coordinating distance education programs in the Masters of Social Work for San Jose State University. Actually, Ken went to San Jose State University. And CSULB Schools of Social Work. Marjorie also serves as a bereavement counselor and a volunteer for Hospice of Petaluma and Memorial Hospital for the last 10 years. She's been very politically active in Petaluma, and she can tell us a little bit more about this. And she is actually one of the co-chairs of the developing the Petaluma Community Engagement and Fair. Well, welcome. Anything else you'd like to add? You have some interesting things here.
Thank you. I know I just have had the wonderful privilege of being a social worker for so many years, and there are so many ways in which, as a social worker, I've gotten to work in my communities.
Well, I want to add one more thing. You're co-sponsoring this with your husband, and
yes.
Always like to mention the name of men who are working with women. So let's do a shout-out. What is your husband's name?
My husband's name is Chip Atkin.
Well, Chip, we're going to send you a shout-out, Chip, and thank you so much for helping Marjorie. So, Marjorie, tell us a little bit about how you got involved. I know this is one of your ideas. There was one in Santa Rosa, Community Engagement Fair. Give us a little background on what's happening in Petaluma.
You bet. You know, right after the election, all of us saw an uptick in hate crimes and hate speech and just general meanness in our community. And it was out of that and out of the tenor of the tone that was set by the election and by the inauguration that many of us came out of retirement. I came out of retirement in order to take a stand. And
well, you know, at the Santa Rosa, we had about 5,000 people.
Yes,
I mean, it was wall to wall. I couldn't believe it. And I never saw so many little of those pussy hats. Oh, my God. It was great. But there was 5,000 people that showed up. And, I don't know if you know this, but I'm the president of the National Organization for Women here, the Sonoma County chapter. And we just had tons of signatures. In fact, I want to do a request. If there's anybody out there that likes to do data entry, please give me, email me at Elaine, E-L-A-I-N-E, at womenspaces.com. I need some help getting those entries into the computer. But there were 5,000 people. So go ahead, continue, my love.
Well, my husband and I also had the total privilege of being in Washington, D.C. for the march.
And oh, really?
We, there was just nothing that would have kept us from being there. And it was all of that impetus that has led me to be involved with a group that's called the Petaluma Community Relations Council. It was a group that was formed very close to right after the election, that came out of an interfaith discussion group about, really preserving human rights in Petaluma.
Human life now.
Yeah, yeah. And what we also are about is bringing together all of these newly forming groups that are coming up out, and particularly among young people, to do and provide different ways for the community to be involved. So all of that, and the fabulous event that was held, the North Bay Community Engagement Fair, really inspired us to take on the potential for doing a community engagement fair in Petaluma.
Well, you know, Marjorie, I want to go back a little bit, because one of the things that you bring to the table is a background in the peace movement. Well, what is your motivation for all this? I mean, you know, I know what it takes to organize something. I mean, it is just, I mean, people don't realize. They show up and they get their samples and they talk to people, and they don't realize that there's a whole group of people behind that are working, excuse my expression, like dogs to get it together and banging on the press and pushing people to make sure they get the word out. So where do you get your inspiration, your motivation?
You know, really and truly, Carrie Fugit, who coordinated the North Bay Community Engagement Fair, is a young woman who is the executive director for Sonoma County Conservation Action.
Oh, yes, she's just wonderful.
And I'm totally inspired by her. She's who I want to be when I grow up, actually.
The new domino effect, one woman inspiring another woman. Remember way back, the domino effect was about communism. Now we're going to do the domino effect about women getting involved, how powerful it is. But go ahead, continue.
And actually, at the same time, I was began to hear about the work that Amanda Morrison, who is my partner here today, is doing on the Social Justice Conference at Santa Rosa JC in Petaluma. And I got so excited about all of that, the combination, just sort of the synergy of the moment, that we pulled together an all-volunteer grassroots committee to organize the Petaluma version of the Community Engagement Fair.
You know, it's really interesting. I hate to say this, but, you know, when you use the word all volunteer, the people who are creating some of this havoc are all paid.
It's true.
They're not volunteers. They're getting good salaries. They have good medical. They have all kinds of things. And here we are in the grassroots volunteering, trying to bring peace. It just doesn't make sense. Well, talk about, you know, one of the things that people are concerned, there was a lot of concern also at the Santa Rosa event, is to make sure that because there's going to be so many people, that it's family friendly, that it's also child friendly. So can you give a little background on how that's going to be accomplished?
Yes, we have some fabulous younger women who have young families who are working with us, and they're designing a children's area.
Oh, my goodness.
So we're taking a page out of the North Bay Community Engagement Fair's book, because they also had family areas. And so there will be song and art projects and all kinds of things for young people to do while they're there. We're also engaging some young people from the high schools to help us staff that children's area. So we're very excited about a cross-generational, cross-cultural kind of a project.
Well, you know, also what you're saying is trying to create peace, trying to create community, trying to create coming together is actually fun. It's actually a good time. It's actually a community event.
It totally is. And Elaine, you know, when you ask me why I do the work that I do, it's an antidote to despair. because it's
antidote to despair.
It's so easy to just feel very despairing about what we're all facing at this moment in time. And being active and being engaged myself has really provided an antidote for me. And so I wanted to offer that to other community members in the Petaluma area by bringing together a group of exhibitors who all have fabulous work that they're doing and ways in which they need help from their fellow community members.
You know, I play with words, and the first letter in depressed is D. So let's change it to do something.
Yes, right.
Do something.
Exactly.
Just do something. You'd be surprised. You know, when I had this experience with my back, as painful as it was, the fact that I could write my script, do the things I do, be on the internet, it actually made it easier to cope with something that if you're just laying around, you just feel terrible. And it's the same kind of pain about this bomb. I mean, I really feel pain in my heart when I think of the damage it's going to do and some of the people that may be affected. But when I know I'm doing something or saying something, it kind of lifts my energy. And it gives me hope, because I feel if I'm doing something and you're doing something and Amanda, who's going to be our next guest, is doing something, that feels like the world is doing something and there's some hope.
Absolutely. You know, as a student of trauma in my work as a social worker, my clinical work, I'd work with a lot of people who've had really big traumas. And right after the election, I noticed that our culture as a whole, and certainly people I was talking to, had clearly been traumatized by 2 years of a campaign of vitriol. And then when the election completed in the way that it did, people were showing all kinds of signs of trauma. So, and I'm quite clear that getting together with groups, connecting and reflecting on what's occurred, and then realizing that we're bigger than the trauma is a way out of the trauma.
Oh, such wonderful words. Thank you so much. I mean, that really hits the nail right on the head, you know. Just do something. Get involved. Well, tell us, you know, we're almost coming to the end of this. I mean, time goes by so fast when you're in this studio. You don't know what hit you. Talk a little bit about what are some of the special features you'll be including, and also I know people can exhibit there as women's spaces. We're going to be trying to do something. We hope we can get there, but also I know there's some booths that are still available. How can people tell us about the special features you'll be including, and also how people can get in touch with you if they want to have a booth or any other information?
You bet. We're very excited because we have, besides the children's area, we also are going to have a conversation cafe.
I love that.
And that's an opportunity to sit down with, there will be faith leaders there and social workers there to have conversations with folks about what this moment in time is like for them, and just thinking out loud about engagement as a way to be the antidote. And in addition, we're actually starting the fair with a blessing by a local folkloric dance group. And so that will be a component part. We have also a stress management suite, and there will be some body workers there doing a very short...
Oh, my goodness.
Another antidote to the stress and the despair. So we're really building in a whole bunch of different kinds of pieces. We're going to invite the Hubbub Club to come and help us finish up. And in addition, we have an immigration panel that we're very excited about. We're part of an event that's happening on the 24th that will be a Know Your Rights, Know Your Neighbors kind of an event to organize around some of the issues that we're seeing occurring in Petaluma related to immigration rights. And we'll have immigration attorneys who are with us at a table to provide consultations as well.
Oh, it just makes my heart sing almost, you know, to feel that the community has come together. I mean, what we did in Santa Rosa with the Women's March, then the engagement, and now something happening in Petaluma, and then having a conference. I mean, the first annual conference in Petaluma, that is amazing. And, you know, hopefully we can do a shout out for the Santa Rosa Junior College campus in Petaluma, which is like a best kept secret in Sonoma County, to give them some really a big shout out for what they're doing.
Truly.
Well, Marjorie, give us websites and how they can get a hold of you, and any last thing that you would like to say to our listening audience, please be my guest.
You bet. We are on Facebook, and our Facebook page, if you simply search for Petaluma Community Engagement Fair. You'll find us there, and you'll find links to our event page, and also you can reach us through that. In addition, people can reach me via email if they want to exhibit, and my email address is MarjorieHelm10@gmail.com.
Well, Marjorie, is there any last things you'd like to say to our listeners about the event or share with your feelings or thoughts? Please be my guest.
No, it's just been a pleasure to be with you, Elaine, and we're very much looking forward to having Women's Spaces be with us at the fair, and maybe even now.
Well, we've got our fingers crossed. But I know Women's Spaces, Ken and I have been talking about it, and I'm going to let – and also, I want to do a shout-out. I have to do a shout-out for Chuck Scheer. I mean, I just have to, because he is one of these men. He's very involved in the Petaluma Progressives. He's always pulling things together, and I want to just say thank you, Chuck. Thank you. Actually, that's how I got in contact with you, was through my friend Chuck Scheer. So thank you, Marjorie. And give your email one more time if people want to get a hold of you.
Yes, it's MarjorieHelm10@gmail.com.
Well, thank you, Marjorie Helm from the Petaluma Engagement Project. And it's going to be, give the dates one more time.
The dates are May 7th, Sunday, May 7th, and we'll be open from 12 to 4.
Well, I really look forward to seeing it and being part of it. And thank you so much for being such a wonderful, wonderful guest here at Women's Spaces. And for inspiring us, letting us know what your feelings are. And to find out that there are so many women in our community that have been activists for years. And you know something, folks? Thank goodness younger women are taking over. I mean, because, you know, we're not going to be here that long. I mean, that's how I look at life. It's just this beautiful journey. And everybody's come along. You know, peace can happen. Peace is possible. I know it is. And it takes a grassroots organization and coming together like this. So thank you so much. Well, we're going to take a musical break. But before we do that, you know, one of the things that Marjorie was talking about is how people, you know, that you get so depressed, you know, you get down and out. And I just want to do a shout out that for Anley High School in Sebastopol, my dear friend Star Hagen, who's a dear friend, is the producer, and she's going to be producing a show called The Broadway Showcase, and that's going to be happening Saturday, April 22nd at 7:30 to 9 at the Anley High School Auditorium in Sebastopol. It's another way to get kids involved, to get young people involved, and also to cheer ourselves up. So thank you again, Marjorie. Remember, the Petaluma Community Engagement Fair is going to be happening on May 7th from what was the time again?
From noon to 4.
From noon to 4. And I encourage people to show up. Well, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to be talking to Dr. Amanda Morrison, and we're going to be talking about the We the Future conference, which I am just so thrilled about. And I thought to myself, what's a good song? You know, I remember this song called Get Together by the Youngbloods, which was really, really a wonderful, wonderful song. And what I found out is very interesting. The Clear Channel took this song that was originally done by the Kingston Trio and said that this song should not be played after 9/11 because it might incite people. Now, I can't figure that one out. Anyway, you know, it takes a long time for me to find these songs that are sung by women, and I found this great song, Get Together, sung by Indio Girls. And I just love it. So here we go, Get Together with the Indio Girls, and when we come back, we will be talking to Dr. Amanda Morrison.
Lovers, but a song we sing is the way we die. You can make the mountains ring or make the angels cry. Though the bird is on the wing, you may not know. Come on, people now, smile on your brother.
you hear the song we sing, you will understand. You hold the key to love and fear, holding your trembling hand. Just one key unlocks them both. It's there at your command.
Wow. I confess. Ken and I were hippies. Yes. I remember this song. Come on, get together, love one another. And let me tell you something. We were into love. And it's just amazing. Here we are in 2017. I mean, I can't help myself. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I am your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to welcome my next guest in the studio with me, Dr. Amanda Morrison. Welcome. Welcome, Amanda.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm honored.
I hope it's okay if I tell our listeners just a little bit about you.
Sure.
Well, Amanda Morrison went to high school at Santa Rosa High. So are you a native of Santa Rosa then?
I grew up in the first 15 years of my life in Los Angeles in the Topanga Canyon area.
Oh.
Talking about hippies.
My neighborhood, by the way.
Oh, okay.
I actually graduated Fairfax High School.
Uh-huh. So. Right. Yeah, my dad grew up in that area.
Oh, great.
But then my mom moved us, my brother and I, to Santa Rosa when we were 15. So
well.
Pretty rooted. Yeah.
So you went to Santa Rosa High School, and then you went to also at college at UC Santa Cruz, and you completed a doctorate. This is very impressive, in cultural anthropology from the University of Texas at Austin, which includes a degree in specialization in Mexican American studies and popular cultural studies. Amanda has taught ethnic studies and anthropology classes at UC Berkeley, UC Davis, and also Sonoma State University. In addition to her academic work, she has published articles on popular music and the arts in the San Francisco Bay Guardian, the Oakland Tribune, and other newspapers. She recently took a full-time position as head of Santa Rosa Junior College Petaluma Intercultural Center, which is known as Our House. Her passion to helping facilitate deep conversations about race and inequality. To this end, she has been advocating for more ethnic study classes at Santa Rosa JC. In her work as chair of one of my favorite organizations, the North Bay Organizing Project Education Justice Task Force. And she's now involved in this wonderful campaign, which is the
We the Future?
We the
Social
Future.
Justice, yeah. Conference.
It's amazing. I just wanted to hear you say it because it's just such an amazing thing. So talk, anything else you'd like to add, Amanda? Anything else you'd like our listeners to know about you?
Well, I'm really enjoying kind of the space here. You mentioned something about intergenerationality, about kind of passing the baton between generations, and I'm really experiencing that myself as someone. I'm sort of entering middle age and really enjoying the
what's middle age?
Well, I don't know. How do we define that anymore? I'm 42. I don't hide it.
Oh, you're the baby love. You're at the right age.
And there's just I can see that there is an emerging youth culture, youth awareness, you know, and politicization of younger people. And then there's still the sort of sage advice and wisdom from baby boomers who can kind of pass on what they learned. And I'm kind of in that middle generation X. So I've been thinking a fair amount about, you know, how we're all connected through generations as well.
Well, I have to say something to you, Amanda. You know, I was very much part of the women's studies program at Sonoma State. In fact, I was actually chosen to be the speaker at my graduation in 1975, the first woman
nice.
Student that ever spoke.
Oh, cool.
And when I look at you as a young 42-year-old woman and the thing that you're doing and what you accomplished, I just want you to know on the air how proud I am of you as a woman. I mean, it touches my heart. I mean, and I see that Marjorie's shaking her head, because we need more women like you. So many women have turned to the corporate world with all the advances for women, instead of turning to the community and working on the community and doing some of the things you're doing. So I just wanted to thank you.
Thank you.
Well, talk about, you know, what I do, just to let the folks do. I always send my guests a request for 5 questions, because I want to know what they're passionate about. It was just amazing, these questions that came to me from you, Amanda. So let's talk about, what are the big issues in Sonoma County regarding social justice and culture?
Well, what my focus has long been on facilitating dialogues about race relations, racial justice, which is, you know, even invoking that word has a charge to it, you know, and it's really interesting to watch how that has gone from a kind of repressed conversation in a lot of mainstream spaces of American culture to one that's bubbling up in some amazing ways, but also some really ugly ways. Like, before I came here, I was listening to some reporting about, you know, the uptick in white nationalist movements and the new kind of bravado that people along those lines are feeling in this era. And it's really frightening. It's a strange time. I'm used to that being sort of the repressed conversation, and now it's one that people do want to talk about. It's like a wound in our culture that has never been healed.
But, you know, when you talk about, you know, I've done a lot of thinking about a lot of this supremacist stuff that's coming up. Mm-hmm. And the good news about that, it's on the table now. We can see it. We know what to talk about. We know what is happening. You know, I'm reading Angela Davis's book on women and class, and talking about the women of, you know, the slave women and what they had to go through. And nobody really knew these things. And until they become known, you really can't change them. So continue.
Yeah, well, that ties in with, that's another passion of mine, is ethnic studies curriculum for young people and for in college and now high school age. So ethnic studies, I think a lot of people don't know what that is, but it's really the academic discipline, you know, devoted to discussing U.S. race relations and history around our major, especially our major historically marginalized groups. So that's U.S. Latinos, African Americans, Asian Americans, and Native Americans. And I know it's like, for a long time, I think a lot of Americans just didn't know our history, know the brutality, the sort of, I mean, like you mentioned with black women, with enslaved women, and the wide scale just rape and treatment, a sort of genocidal history that we haven't even really confronted. I think for some activists of color, it's frustrating because for years it's been like, I'm yelling out this trauma and you feel like no one's listening to you because there was a lack of willingness to have these conversations. And I'm wondering if that's changing now, because...
Well, it's changing. We're talking about it on the air right now. I mean, this is going out across the world from California. I mean, we're streaming. So somebody's listening to this conversation.
There seems to be a greater willingness.
Yeah, much greater.
Because times are almost getting more overt in your face, scary around white supremacy coming out of the woodwork. I mean, I think my contention and a lot of people's is it was always there and people were just wouldn't acknowledge it, you know, but it was there and now we see it, you know.
Well, it's also there in very subtle ways.
Yeah.
You know,
different forms of racism.
The North Bay organizing group put on a bias workshop.
Right.
And of course I went in there thinking I'm not biased, you know, I mean, I've got it together, right? And they did this simple exercise. They said, close your eyes and see a white guy walking down the street. What happens to you? Well, nothing happened. Now he waits about 2 or 3 minutes, you know, we talk a little bit about it. Then he has us close our eyes again. And he says, now visualize an African-American walking down the street. And something in me viscerally just reacted. Mm-hmm. And I was shocked. And that's when I raised my hand, I says, I'm really surprised because I feel I'm an open person, that I don't have these kind of biases. But yet in this situation, immediately I reacted. And he said, that's it. It's the hidden bias that many of us don't even know that we have. That's why it's so important to open up and to talk about it.
Right.
So talk a little bit about what can Santa Rosa, how do they play at the junior college? How does it play a role in helping to overcome this? And what are some of your challenges around bringing ethnic studies in?
That's just something. I'm fairly new to SRJC, so that's just a beginning conversation I'm starting to explore with some of my colleagues and students. I mean, SRJC represents a community in a service area, our where we live, that is has profoundly changed even in the last few decades of my life. It has become the Latino population here has really exploded. I think we're at over 25% Latino in Sonoma County area. And our institutions need to reflect that. And I think actually SRJC has gone a long ways towards making good on that. It's a federally designated Hispanic serving institution, or HSI. So it received that status. It's sort of a grant that you apply for and a process you go through to be designated that by the federal government. And it involves some funding for programs to outreach to and support not just Latino students as well as low-income first-generation college-going students. So a lot of programs have rolled out in the last few years at SRJC. A lot of them have been at the Santa Rosa campus, the cultural center that's kind of the analog to the one I coordinate in Petaluma. In Santa Rosa, it's called Mi Casa, whereas in Petaluma, the one I coordinate is our house, or Nuestra Casa. And yeah, so there's a lot going on. The only thing I want to learn more about that institution, and I've noticed in other institutions of higher learning, is that ethnic studies programs, departments, and curriculum tend to be pretty under-supported and underdeveloped. But it's always been a controversial discipline because
they don't want to understand your past. You might get pissed off. You know, you might get mad. You find out what they did that to my people.
And I've seen young people when I've taught these kinds of courses, I've seen their minds just really, right. You know, sometimes it's almost traumatic. Not traumatic. It can be empowering, too. But it's like, yeah, your eyes are opening to a pretty traumatic history.
Well, I want to inject one thing. You know, I go back to Condoleezza Rice, which mm-hmm. is very interesting. And one time they did an interview with her, and she wanted to know. They asked her the question, how, and even though her father was a civil rights activist, they asked her what do you think the civil rights movement contributed to your success, to where you become. And she says, "Oh no," she says, "it would have happened for me whether there was a civil rights movement or not." And I remember listening to that, and I said, "What?" And so the suggestion I have, I just want to make a little suggestion, is to inject to people that when you learn about your history, it's of course to get upset about it, but not to forget about your roots. So when you're moving up the ladder of success, you know, just because someone's paying you maybe more salary or etc., you're still bound. I know, being Jewish for myself, you know, you still come from that culture, and that culture has certain ramifications and certain prejudice that you always have to be mm-hmm. aware of, and to help other people come up behind you.
Yeah. Yeah, I can definitely relate to that. So my background, part of, I think, what draws me to these conversations and these disciplines and subjects is because I am, my ethnic identity is sort of liminal in between. I'm half Mexican American and half white. And I've always felt a certain, I definitely feel a deep connection to my Chicana, you know, heritage. Maybe more so because my grandparents and that extended family, I was closer to them. My grandparents on the Anglo side, I never knew. But there's this sense of like rootedness, the desire for rootedness that I sort of lacked in a culture, and that maybe almost pushed me towards a compensatory in a positive way, but like to learn to become a Mexican American studies scholar, you know, to keep those connections alive.
Amanda, I have to say this. It goes by so fast here, the segment. I want to know, I'm going to get a commitment from you. Mm-hmm. I would like to have you back on again to further this conversation. This is a very, very, very important conversation.
Sure.
And to give you more time mm-hmm. to really explore this. And even maybe I'm going to announce it. Maybe we can even open the phones at that point. I mean, I just listening to you is I have a whole nother show, but then my mind.
Yeah, around identity.
So I want to wind down now, and I want to go into We the Future. I do not want to lose time mm-hmm. and not be able to talk about that. We only have a few minutes left.
Yes.
So talk a little bit about We the Future, why it's important. I know it's happening April 28th this year at the Santa Rosa Junior College. College, Petaluma campus. So talk about what is this event going to be about? What is it going to entail? And why are you calling it a conference?
Our theme this year is the kind of vernacular phrase that comes out of like Black Lives Matter and younger social movements. Get woke, stay woke. To be woke is to be sort of like to have your consciousness
raised.
Let's
get woke.
Yeah, so, exactly. So that's the idea, to provide an opportunity through a bunch of panels all day for everyone in the community. It's open to all, but we're going to have like over 100 high school students there. Hopefully quite a lot of SRJC students will be there exploring different issues that across the gamut of social justice, everything from LGBTQ issues to Native American sovereignty to I'll probably do a panel on ethnic studies. To race and sports and athletic activism that Dr. Lauren Morimoto is going to do from SSU. So it's a really broad range. A panel on Palestine, a panel on, yeah. So it's just an opportunity to explore various issues and sort of the get woke part, and then stay woke. There'll be resource fair tabling at noon to connect with various community organizations. And so North Bay Organizing Project is our community partner. And that's an organization I work really closely. I do hold a leadership role in there too.
We should do a shout out for Susan Shaw, all the work she does.
Susan Shaw, Devin Cardenas, Annie Dobbs Kramer, Karim Sanchez, a bunch of really amazing community organizers. I also want to give a shout out. The idea for this conference didn't generate with me. I was hired after the idea was already gestating. Our dean, Petaluma's dean of student services, Dr. Matthew Long, he's also a really, really talented leader and a really dynamic leader. And it was coming out of a conference on the National Conference of Race and Ethnicity in Higher Education. They were inspired to have this kind of an event at Petaluma campus.
So tell us the day, the time, and how people can, is it free or is there a cost?
Yes.
All the details.
It's free and open to all. So it can be this very multi-generational, cross-cultural gathering, we hope it is. It's Friday, April 28th. We'll begin around 9 a.m. Alicia Sanchez, who you know, that's the president of the board of directors.
Yay,
of KBBF. She is our keynote speaker. She is a wonderful speaker.
I'm going to have to remind her that she lets people know that she's now the president of KBBF.
And so she'll be giving a speech around 9:15, 9:30 or so. And then the panels will go on all day. There'll be free food, lunch and dinner. And as we wind down from 4:30 to 6, that'll be the closing. And we have an amazing performer. One of the most talented Oakland conscious hip hop MCs. His name is Daniel Mora. Some people know him as Big Dan, a rapper in the group Brown Buffalo. They don't perform as much together anymore, but he's going to be solo and performing some of his classic songs. And I was just a big fan of theirs as they were coming up in the Oakland conscious hip hop scene in the like mid 2000s or so.
Well, Amanda Morrison, I want to thank you so much for being on Women's Spaces and for doing this wonderful event. A reminder to my listeners, it's happening on April 28th from 9 to 6 p.m. It's going to be at the Santa Rosa Junior College, Petaluma campus. It's free and open to the public. It's a day-long conference, aims to raise consciousness, woke. We're going to all get woke up and inspire action. Anyway, the theme is woke, stay woke. Any last thoughts, Amanda?
It's a pleasure to connect with you and this space. The energy in here is really lovely.
Well, thank you so much. Thank both Dr. Amanda Morrison, and also a special shout out to Marjorie Helm and all my listeners. Thank you so much. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. Remember, our children are the future. We must never lose sight of that. This is Elaine B. Holtz, your host, and I look forward to being with you the next time.